Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live, everybody. And so glad you're with us here today. Joining me is Dr. Dave Stoop. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Okay, how you doing?
Doing very well, and real excited that we're together today, and we're wanting some folks to make some big decisions. You know, we come on the air every day, and it kind of seems like it's the same old thing. It's never the same old thing. It's always something new, unique, or different at New Life, whatever we're doing. And you know, just yesterday we were in Northern California. We're going to be starting up really a leadership intensive 1 year program for folks that need a little help getting that leadership piece of their life together. And it's just fantastic, some of the things that are happening with women of faith. And we're working on the Ultimate Intimacy workshop that's going to be in February of next year, where we really help couples experience intimacy maybe like they've never even imagined it could be, a closeness, a oneness, and an attunement. So many things going on. And if you need any help in the midst of all that, there are those counselors right there, those folks on the phone wanting to help you find the right resource, a counselor, a workshop, whatever it is. And you know, the big workshop coming up is Women in the Battle, June the 19th in Dallas. And I don't know how to say it, but if there's more tears per inch of carpet shed at that workshop,
boxes,
because the healing.
Boxes, yeah. Of Kleenex.
I mean, the healing is absolutely amazing. And I just hope and pray that if you are connected or have been connected with somebody that's got a sexual integrity problem, just the way Sherry Keffer was, who does that workshop, let her help you. And let, you know, maybe people don't even understand, but when you come to one of our workshops, we fly counselors in from all over the world, country, and they're the best Christian counselors that can help you do the work you need to do in a weekend. And Dave, you've talked about it. A lot of people say it's like a year's worth of process because it's so concentrated and effective.
Yeah, it's a year's worth in a weekend. And if you're involved with marital counseling or individual counseling and you kind of feel stuck, this is the thing that gets you unstuck and moving forward. And it's like you all of a sudden traversed a year's growth.
Yeah, that's right. So we've got Every Man's Battle is May 15th. That's next week. June the 19th, Women in the Battle. And then we've got an amazing Healing is a Choice and Marriage Solution Weekend coming up in July. So we want you to be at those if you need them. WeDare.com, just doing great. So many guys signing up, and already guys are signing up. And, you know, we've got two sets of devotionals. One, we send you 30 days of devotionals to encourage you. But if you don't make it, you click on the other set, and that starts your 30 days over. We've already had guys click on over and start over. We love that. That's what it's for. And, of course, we're calling attention to the fact that if you can't go 30 days, then maybe you've got a problem that we could help you with. And we got, you know, pastors at Every Man's Battle. We take care of them at no cost. So if you know a pastor who's struggling, well, what a great thing when they get help and they get healing. And all of that happens because you support this ministry. So please don't stop doing that. 1-800-229-3000 is the phone number. 1-800-229-3000. And Dave and I, we'll talk about our meeting we had last week at Tyndale. That's just too exciting. Tyndale House Publishers, an amazing publisher of the Word. But come join us, 1-800-229-3000.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical, or doesn't make sense, or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Keffer June 19th through the 21st in Dallas, Texas. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Send me, I'll try to burn that.
Okay.
All right. You know, Dave and I were just talking. Last week, we were, we were up in the office there where Ken Taylor, who founded Tyndale House Publishing, Ken, he
Ken did
is,
the Living Bible.
Yeah, for his nieces, nephews, grandkids.
Yeah, Living Letters first, and then the Living Bible.
And he just wanted them to be able to understand the Bible, and that is one amazing publishing house. And for us to spend the day with them, we're partners with them. The stuff that you hear us talk about here on radio, we're going there and developing projects with Tyndale for Bibles. And the Bible that we're working on right now is the New Life in Christ Bible, which they believe will be around 150 years from now. It is the ultimate discipleship Bible, and that whole concept came out of the heart and soul of Dr. Dave Stoop. Really amazing, amazing material. And we'll tell you more about that.
We kind of trigger each other, so it's a...
We do.
Yeah,
a lot of
process.
People trigger when you hear trigger. They trigger each other negatively, but
we
not
trigger
us.
Each other in another way, creatively.
That's right. All right, let's go to the phones, and why don't we talk with, let's talk to Michelle from Dublin, California. KFAX is the station. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
We're
How
delighted.
I wanted to ask, I just found out recently that my brother has a serious alcohol problem, and me and his wife have been making plans to talk to him this Saturday about it, and we've lined up a facility that will take him if he's willing to go, and just wanted to know from you, all of you, some advice as to how we should conduct this and maybe what to expect or what we shouldn't do or not to, do. I've never done anything like this before.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One of the things that I found is the most powerful way to confront somebody is in love, but having as many people as you can involved in the process. It's like if you get 10 people in the room with him, it's like all of a sudden he realizes, wow, 10 people know my secret.
Yeah,
and it's not a secret anymore.
So let me give you another addition to the amount of people, and as Dave said, is expressing love. But so you want as many people as you can, not just the two of you. If there's anybody else that you could add, that'd be great.
Kids,
express
parents.
I love you. We care about you. But I think a real key is contrasting what you used to see this person do and hear them say and just the person that they were. You know, when we, 10 years ago when we got married, your sister-in-law might say, this is what you did and this is how it was. And now today that's different. Or, and you're able to say, I watched you 10 years ago do this and that. And then now it's like this. So you're contrasting. And you're talking about missing that person that you used to be with. So you're contrasting, you're expressing how you miss that person. And then I think you go from expressing love to expressing fear. And you're afraid that it's just going to continue to spiral downward. You're afraid that he's not going to realize how bad it's gotten. You're afraid that he's going to miss out on the most amazing life that he could have if he would humble himself and ask some people to help him stop drinking.
And the old image of an intervention is, if you don't go into treatment, then you have to move out. And the confrontation. And they found that that's not as effective as the approach that Steve and I just described to you, where you talk about it in love and missing the person and fearfulness of what's going to come. And that gets at their heart. And if you get to their heart, you get to their motivation. Don't argue about whether he's an alcoholic or not. That's irrelevant. Just talk about what the changes that you've seen in him. And but have the kids there. Have the kids write a letter of love to him and saying,
right.
And the parents or any and friends, and don't limit just to the two of you, because there's power in the secret being out on the table.
And I remember I was trained as an interventionist by Claudia Black years ago, and one of the things you want to have is your what if question ready when he says, okay, I get it. I'm going to stop and I'll be good for the rest of my life. Then you want to be able to say, so what if that doesn't work for you? Mm. What could you agree to if that doesn't happen? Or he says, I don't have a problem and it's not going to get worse. Then you say, well, what if it does though? Let's just say you did end up driving drunk and getting arrested. What if that happened? What would you be willing to do? And you get them to agree to it. And then when it happens, then you say, hey, you agreed. This is what you were going to do. And so it just helps you kind of plan for the future, because it doesn't get better. It doesn't get better at all. And the other thing is, you want to be sure that the focus isn't on we want you to stop drinking, but it's about pulling all the areas of life back together. And that requires a team of people. That's something no one can do on their own.
And that's why you don't make a discussion about whether he's an alcoholic or not. It's what are you going to do with the rest? How are you going to pull all these back in place?
Yeah. You just talk about his problem, not his addiction.
The other thing is that both you and his wife need to go to Al-Anon and let him know that you're going to start going to Al-Anon.
Because, or that you went last week.
You're going to continue to go. And that scares an alcoholic, because it's like, okay, you're going to understand my denial system then. And it changes things.
Okay. So what do you think about all that?
No, I think that's great. And I hadn't considered involving more people, so I think I'll make some phone calls and see who I can get involved. I wasn't sure about having so many people, but we can definitely reach out and get some more involved in that. And I think that's all great advice. And I'm totally okay with Al-Anon. I mean, I myself have done a 12-step program for codependency at my church.
Oh, and, good. Mm-hmm. That's why you knew what to do.
She needs to be sure that she's attended at least one of those meetings or an Al-Anon meeting before you guys meet. I think that's just more powerful. I met with some other wives in my same situation, and they've all been through the same thing. So you're either laying the foundation for help, or you're able to motivate him to get the help that he needs.
Okay. No, thank you so much. That helps a lot.
Great.
You're welcome.
Keep us posted. Let us
know
how it goes.
I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible, and I think that'll be a great gift to him. And I hope that he will use it. We've talked about it a little bit, but Bill Moyer's son, that he had been through many treatments, and one of the doctors there had a Life Recovery Bible, and he said to Bill Moyer's son, "Is there anything I could get for you?" He says, "You could bring back one of those Bibles." And he says that Life Recovery Bible made the difference in that treatment. That's why it was his last treatment. It's pretty exciting.
We've heard that from a number of people, that getting that Bible not only helped them in terms of their recovery, but it introduced them to who Jesus is.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's a great evangelistic tool as well.
Jesus was a very big advocate of recovery.
Well, they just didn't use that word back then.
That's right.
They
used the word
more
sanctification.
Discipleship.
Yeah.
Following me.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Okay, Susan, Richmond, Virginia, WAVA is the station. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Doing okay.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. How can we help you?
I'm calling because I listen to this show often, and I recently got engaged. And from childhood, I've had a lot of physical, emotional, and sexual abuse, and I also have been married into a physical, abusive, and emotional abusive relationship. And I was divorced probably back in 2006. I'm also a recovering alcoholic and drug addict, and I go to meetings. I've got about 5 years sober.
I've got
5 years sober. So my question is, what's happening in my relationship is that I am being triggered. And what I've found in counseling is that I'm triggered because he is a man. And I have a belief system from childhood that's created a lot of negative beliefs about several things in my life. So what's happening, I'm having trouble controlling my emotions, and my immediate protection mode is anger and being short and being very mean and, you know, just spat out of the mouth. So I've been trying to put things into place to make that different, but for some reason I'm struggling controlling myself, and I still have a lot of fear and trust issues. And we just started a premarital counseling through my church, and we took a question test about, each individual took a question test, and when we got our results, it showed that it was on the lower spectrum of things that need to be worked on. It's all about communication and conflict resolution, and it's on the lower end. And he said there's an awful lot of stuff in this relationship from the beginning, and he said, I just want you to know that usually for people that are getting married, there's not near as much stuff as there is in this relationship. So it's put a damper on the security of my fiance. So now I'm wondering,
Susan
talked about healing as a choice.
Yeah,
and
right.
7-minute marriage, because we're trying to put things in place each morning for our relationship to grow.
Yeah.
So
what's the question then? Because, yeah, what's your question?
The question is, do you think it's possible that I can heal from my abuse in childhood and actually be able to have freedom in allowing a man to be head of household spiritually, physically, and emotionally?
Okay. Now, let me tell you something that concerned me about what you were saying. You've given all of this stuff that you're going through, and you've said it's put a damper on him. But hasn't it put a damper on you? I mean, aren't you worried?
Yes, I'm very worried I'm worried on his part because he's putting up with it, and I'm also worried because he is starting to show signs of being impatient now. I'm also worried because I don't know if I'm going to be able to fully heal and learn how to be respectable before it's too late, you know?
Yeah, well, you can heal, but I think you have a timing problem.
Yeah.
And you might think, hey, I got to go ahead and we got to get this thing nailed down and married, and I can work on it once I you know, I've got this guy in the bag here. But that usually isn't the way it works, because once you're married, whatever irritation he's showing could end up being rage. And so I think you've got a timing problem. Dave, what are your thoughts?
Well, what you need to understand, Susan, is that your triggers are subconscious, at a subconscious level. It's not something you can consciously control. But the more you bring that material out into the open and talk about it with him, with a counselor, the more he can understand how he does some of those things, and the more you can understand how what he does hooks into the old unconscious material. You know, the goal, the healing is a choice, is bringing the unconscious stuff back into the conscious zone to where I can manage it. And that's the whole issue with emotions, is how can I manage my, how can I identify them? How can I manage them? And that. But yes, you can definitely heal, and you may need to slow down, but is the important thing is that you and he talk with the counselor about what you experience and what your fears are, what his fears are, and get it all out on the table.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's good, and that was one of my concerns, was that I felt like he needed to go talk to my therapist or a therapist about...
No, you got it. You got to do it.
So he could understand.
You got to do it. You got to do it together, Susan. You got to do it together with your counselor.
Okay, I'll send you a 7-minute marriage solution, and I'm going to send you Is This the One also, and we'll talk a little bit after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery, and it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Right, Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, and I want to talk to you about National Day of Prayer right after talking here with Susan, and Dave has some additional stuff for Susan.
Susan, you were saying that he should go to a counselor and talk about it, and that's what a lot of people do, is that you start, you see your counselor, he sees his counselor, and usually that doesn't work, especially on something like this. You need to be in the same room together and not worry about whether you've got a good relationship with your counselor and he feels kind of on the outside. That doesn't matter, because talking about this together with somebody who's skillful in helping you hear those things is what's really important. So make sure you do it together. And if you're a listener and you're thinking of the same thing, make sure you do it together. But these things can be dealt with. And the other thing is, you probably need to slow down in terms of the wedding plans.
No, not just probably. I think you need to. But hey, Susan, there are some things that you mentioned, you know, some essentially conclusions that you've reached about men that you've lived with. But I wonder if you can think back about through all of that. Did you ever make a vow about a man? Did you ever say something like, I will never allow a man to hurt me again, or some vow like that?
Yes, yeah, I've did that.
Okay. Well, what that is, that is the opposite of surrender. See, when we surrender, we're saying, I'm going to trust God, rely on His truth, the supportive community that I'm going to live in for healing and transformation, so that I don't have to make a vow like that. Because when we live according to a vow, it's very, very hard to break that vow. And so every time He does something that feels like it's intersecting with that vow you made, even though you say, okay, well, I don't live that way anymore, still there. So if I were you, I would sit down and write down on one page, here are all the conclusions that I made about men, and here are the vows that I made to myself. And I think you need to sit down with a counselor and say, these are the things that I must eradicate from my life. They are controlling me, and I need to be able to surrender them. I need to be able to live in the world of vulnerability and risk rather than thinking Susan has to protect herself at all costs. Okay?
Yes, that's huge. And what I wanted to say real quick is that we went to the counselor together first, and she asked our overlook view on the relationship and why we were there. And of course, I started to get upset and cried, and because I'm in a program of honesty, I told her all my baggage. And so she said she needed to see me alone for a while. And recently, we've just been seeing each other alone, and he has not been seeing anybody. So I've told my counselor he's struggling because he's out there on his own, and I'm in here trying to figure out what my triggers are, but he's not getting any help. And I would like for maybe you to talk to him about, you know, or us together even. And she said she's not ready, that I'm not ready for, that we're not in a place of my recovery to be able to present him with, I don't know. She just acts like it's not.
Well, so you're sure not in a place. I tell you, I don't think you're in a place to be engaged. I really don't. I think dating needs to be.
We did push the wedding off till next year.
That's good.
Okay. All right.
But you know, not to be critical of your therapist, Susan, there are a lot of therapists out there who are very uncomfortable with two people in the room. And that's why they tend to divide couples up. You know, the best, maybe you continue to see your therapist and work on it, but then find a therapist who's comfortable with couples and work together. Because if he goes to his own therapist and you go to your own therapist, there's no coordination in between what's going on and what the growth patterns are with you. And that's an easy way to grow apart rather than to grow closer. Mm-hmm. So find a couple. Let's talk to somebody offline, and we'll give you some suggestions as to who you might be connected to that would work with couples and be comfortable working with couples. And do that instead of him going off by himself.
Well, today is the National Day of Prayer, and it is so great that we still live in a country where you could even have something like that observed. And, you know, some real courageous people, young people, went to school today, stood out by a flagpole and prayed together with other friends. And it is no small thing that we still have these liberties. And, you know, sometimes we think Christians are really persecuted here in the United States, and there are many ways that our views get shut down. If you don't agree with somebody, they will try to put you out of business, all sorts of things. But in other parts of the world, there are Christians that are being killed for their beliefs and tortured for their beliefs. And I want us to pray for them. And so I'm just going to take a moment here on this National Day of Prayer to say, Lord, we know that we are blessed in so many ways. And we pray for those folks in other parts of the world who are under tremendous pressure to give up their faith, or they're literally being tortured for their faith or killed for standing up for their faith. And I just pray that they will know you are with them in the midst of the pain and the struggle and the heartache. And I ask this in your name. Right now, I pray for all of you that are listening, that God's presence would be so real in your life today that you would say, I am going to try to love somebody in the name of Jesus. I don't need credit for it or whatever. I just want to love them and let them know they are loved in this world today. Let's do that together. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and I'm really excited that our ministry trip this year is going to Ireland. We're calling it the Irish Connection, and it's New Life's 2015 spiritual adventure, and I sure hope you're going to join us.
There's a lot of cathedrals you're going to visit along the way with such an amazing history of Christianity here in Ireland. We're called the Land of Saints and Scholars. The scenery is amazing, the history, whether you're in the castles and the west coast of Ireland, and then when you come up to Dublin, the contrast between the countryside and then the capital city, which is quite a cosmopolitan European city now with some amazing architecture. You're going to be spoiled for choice with the museums, whether it's the Book of Kells in Trinity College or Chester Beatty Library. Some of the oldest manuscripts in the world are housed there.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and be part of the Irish Connection. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. And we want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an every man's battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. We are back. Hey, imagine this. Okay. Imagine you've been in these stuck relationships, and your first husband leaves for another woman, hello, while you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. Okay?
All right. That happens a lot.
Hey, thanks, men. Good job. All right. So, okay, that was shaming. I'm sorry. I take that back.
That, all right. So, you deserve to be shaming.
Yeah. All right. Second thing, you get married again, and your husband commits suicide after 9 years of marriage. So your first husband leaves when you're pregnant. Now you have two kids. Your husband commits suicide after 9 years. And then, now, after all of that, you're involved in a relationship with a Christian man, and in 15 months, you find out he's cheated on you twice. So you don't marry him, but now you're in despair. And so what do? Well, you feel beaten up and betrayed and abandoned and worn out. And so you work hard, you put everything into work, and you feel like there's just something wrong with you and you're never enough, and you end up at Healing as a Choice. And when you go there, you walk away absolutely transformed, accepting your brokenness and totally surrendered to Christ. You leave knowing why you made the unhealthy choices and forgiven. And forgiving of yourself for making the choices. And you've got friends that have spoken truth into your life and haven't judged you. And you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're loved by Christ and that He wants to use you no matter what. And you leave with courage and strength. Now that's what happened. And that is what happened to a woman who came from that. That was her life. And she is embracing the reality of her life rather than just living in shame. You could experience that. What I'm saying here, it doesn't get much worse than this. I mean, she almost makes it look like Job was on vacation. And that's pretty bad. And she walks away with a whole new life. You come be part of that. Sign up right now. It's July 24th. You can do it. and then you go there, get a new life, and then you go with us to Ireland. Dave is a citizen of Ireland. He's taking us to his home country, and we're going to study the Bible, and we're going to study all of the different areas of the Christian faith as they have gone through the history of Ireland and how they saved civilization, and you will not regret going. I can promise you that. You will not regret it. All right.
I'm also a citizen of the United States, so...
Just, that's important.
I'm an Irish citizen because my dad was from Ireland.
That's so cool, though. And
yeah.
I can't wait. And Milan's going, and it's going to be amazing. So you just come join us. Let's go to Beth from St. Paul, Minnesota. She listens online. Hello there. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So... I've been involved in a recovery program with New Life since January. I'm divorced for 2 years after living with a porn addict for 14, and I drew the line, and he chose the addiction over me, but has blamed it all on me.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 3 children, have to co-parent together, and I'm really struggling because one of our children has now become involved in pornography and masturbation as well. And the father wants no part of supporting him. And I don't know how to protect my children. I'm also concerned about my daughter. And as she's maturing, he has looked at teen porn. And the church...
How old is your daughter?
She'll be 11.
Wow.
I would be concerned. I would be very concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And the church has let me down because they still allow him to teach Sunday school, serve as an usher, count offering, participate in men's Bible studies. And I've gone to some of my friends that we go to the same church still. And they say they're just trying to keep him involved in the church. And the pastor is a friend of his and has never once before the divorce asked us to go to counseling together. He saw us separately. And his parents think that now he's listening to Christian music, that he's a stronger Christian and he's turned his life around. I want nothing more than for him to heal. I would love to put our family back together, but now he's starting a new relationship with another woman, and she doesn't know anything about this either. And God clearly told me before I divorced that part of my purpose is to help stop the cycle. But I struggle with how much to share and how much to try to educate and how much to just let go and let everything just explode.
Okay, so what does your preacher know about the situation?
Everything.
But your preacher may also be addicted to porn, unfortunately.
Well,
which is why he doesn't want to deal with it.
So he's leaving to go to another church in the next 4 weeks.
Right.
And I have a one. And so I feel like I need to talk to the elders. But, I mean, it comes down to my kids, right? It comes down to my kids because my son is in counseling, but he'll only go every other week with me because their father doesn't take them. His father doesn't check his devices. His father has never, ever dealt with this. I've met with a counselor with him and his father, or with his father, to say, can you... talk to him, but I don't think he knows how to do it. And I don't, because he hasn't confronted his own issues.
Okay.
And
so, Beth?
So.
Okay, here's what you can deal with, all right?
Yeah.
You can't change the pastor's mind. You cannot create character within your ex-husband, all right? And
mm-hmm.
You can't wait for people to fix things in your life.
Right.
So, I want you to stop expecting anybody to do anything for you.
Okay.
Okay. I know your church did let you down and all that, but here's what you can do. Their first priority of all of this is none of the stuff you're talking about, except for your 11-year-old daughter.
Okay.
That's your number one priority. You ought to be... asking, talking about, doing things that ensure she is never left alone with your 13-year-old son.
Oh, boy.
That there ought to be cameras in the house. There ought to be all sorts of things talked about with your 13-year-old son about the need for her to be protected by him. He needs to rise up and be the champion of her, and he can't do it if he's looking at pornography.
I have a 15-year-old son as well.
Okay. Same thing with your 15-year-old son.
Okay.
So you want
her... How does
the
mom do that?
Well, she talks with them.
You can talk with them. You can talk.
You talk openly about your concern for your 11-year-old daughter, because you're aware that porn is being viewed and the way young women are being objectified in pornography, and pretty soon a person objectifies all women, and you need to let them be. You need to be very clear with them about what happens when somebody is involved in incest or violating a young person or anybody. Because they're not standing up for sexual integrity, and that's, you need them to be doing the opposite of looking at pornography. You need them to be standing up for it. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you need to have your son in counseling with you, talking to a counselor about the issue of pornography, objectification of women, different ways to find gratification other than through use of pornography. You need to be up on how using pornography is using women that are trapped in a sex industry where 89% of them want out of that industry. All sorts of things that you need to be dealing with. It's a huge issue. It's a cancer in your home. And you have to take responsibility to deal with it up front. It is not something that's going to help your 11-year-old by avoiding the subject that they might touch her.
Now, number three, I don't know why you haven't talked to the elders. Are you protecting your ex?
I was for a long time, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm learning that I can't do that.
No, the more you protect him, the worse it gets. And you've experienced that,
yep.
I'm sure. So you don't go on a vendetta against him, but you talk to the elders, and you're open with other people who ask you questions, and you do not tell, you do not hedge on the truth, but you don't get vengeful either. You know, it's not revenge. It's being honest. And speaking the truth in love is your pattern.
Right. Because you gave the pastor the opportunity to deal with it appropriately, and he did not.
Right.
So now the next thing is you go to the elders with that. Okay.
So,
I'm going to send you preparing your son. I'm going to send you Every Young Man's Battle. You need to be going over these books, and I'd be going to that pastor saying, how can you help me develop character in my boys or get them involved in the church as well as counseling? You can turn this around, and I'm really glad you called about this. We'll be back after this.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed that if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we are back. And, you know, this Sunday, Mother's Day, I'm going to be speaking at Heartland Church. And if you want to see that message, it's on the call of a strong mother. And you can go to heartlandchurch.com. You can hear and see that message. But it's a message for people like Beth because, you know, God, He expects you as a woman to be strong. And, you know, the Proverbs 31 woman, that she's a mother. And there is all sorts of calling upon her to be strong. And it says that she is strong. There's no doormat mom in the Bible. It just that's not there. So don't you let anybody try to trap you into some kind of doormat position and as a mother. Anyway, I hope and pray that this will be a great Mother's Day for all of you mothers. And we know it's just one of the most difficult jobs. But I'll tell you, I'm so fortunate to get to watch a master mother weave her love into the fiber of the souls of these children. And if you need help doing that, get some help. Say, hey, it doesn't come naturally for me. My mom didn't teach me how to do this. And get some help. A lot of things in the future depend on the love and the strength of a mother. All right. I am now going to go to Elaine. We're going to do another program after this. So if you're hanging on, hang on. Our phone number is 1-800-229-3000. Elaine is calling from Fort Worth, Texas, KWRD. Love Fort Worth. Went to seminary there. Elaine, how you doing?
I'm fine. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
How could we help?
Okay, great. Well, I'm at someone, at a job conference kind of thing, so we have similar backgrounds. I mean, he's way smarter than me. He's an engineer, but anyway, we have a lot in common, and we clicked, and went out on a few dates at the seminar, just dinner dates, you know, and then we sat by each other in class, and we ate lunch together, so we spent a week together just getting, I don't know, having a good time and everything, but I mean, it was on my mind. I asked him if he goes to church, and he said he did as a kid. He was an altar boy. You know, he's in the Catholic Church.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, I mean, I knew I'm a Christian, and I know what God, you know, wants for me. And then it just gets kind of difficult. But anyway, so my thing is, I don't know if I should pursue this relationship, because I told him last night that we're unequally yoked, and he didn't even know what that meant. So I explained it, and then he really doesn't want to end the relationship. He wants to pursue it, and he's all open to learning about God and Christ. I mean, I let him know Jesus loves him, and but he told me today in the conference, I did ask him, like, on the third day, I said, you know, when do you go to church? And then I said, he said, yeah, but the Jesus Christ thing, I just don't really get that or, you know, believe in that.
Yeah, because that whole thing about love, and it's just, it's hard for people, you know, and dying for the sins of people. If you're, it's hard for, you know, when I hear somebody say that whole Jesus Christ thing, I go, have you spent 5 minutes looking at the life, the real life of Christ there versus what they're usually saying is, I just don't get that stuff I see on TV that Christians say out loud. That's so offensive.
Or they don't get the stuff they heard as a kid in a church that
right.
had their own slant to it.
Okay, so I'm going to let you off the hook, Elaine, all right? How you like that?
Okay.
First of all, how how physical is your relationship with this guy?
Oh, it hasn't been at all. I mean, I just
Good.
Gave him a little
okay.
check on for the first date, and then the other
okay.
date. We
Good job.
You, nothing, cause
you are now you're now a new life hero, and we'll send you the the crown. But here's what I would do. Rather than just say this is hopeless, I wouldn't be. When you throw out things like unequally yoked, and you know he's thinking, well, what am I ordering the wrong kind of eggs? I don't know. You know what is that all about? And so, I would invite him to learn about the faith that you experience and the Jesus you've come to know. So you're saying to him, oh, well, no wonder, you know, you feel the way you do and all this kind of stuff and the thoughts you have. But would you be willing to look into why I, as an intelligent human being, have landed with some beliefs that I think are founded in absolute truth? And if he's willing to do that, then you guys do some things together. Get him a copy of More Than a Carpenter or...
Mere Christianity.
The Case for Christ.
Ask I mentioned that one to him. Yeah, that I was going to send in The Case for Christ.
Okay. All right. And
very
so then
smart,
you.
And that guy was,
yeah. And so you're saying, let's have some mutual reading. And then when we're on the phone, we're talking about this stuff. And so see where that goes.
Yeah,
but be willing to walk away if it doesn't go the way that it needs to go.
And the way I would frame it is that I don't want to have a long-term relationship with someone who doesn't share what I believe, because I think that's important to the stability of a relationship. And it's proven to be so. So it's not you're not saying something out of the ordinary. But it sounds like he's open and he's willing, and so just go slow. And keep your standards high and see what happens.
Yeah, but and if you guys get physical, then of course then you've thrown everything out
the
that
window,
you believe in. But I don't think it's your job to win him to Christ or whatever. But I do think you have an opportunity to see if this is a man, if he came to understand beyond the headlines and whatever his experience was as a child. That man, there's real love and power and truth here. You know, maybe there's some hope. Let me send you a copy of. I'll send you a copy of. I don't know what should we send her, Dave.
Well, didn't you do the book about the real Christian?
I can send you a copy of.
I forget the title of it.
Yeah, it's Being Christian. It's just,
yeah.
I'm just trying to think if that's really going to, I'll send you Being Christian, because there is some good, really good stuff there, and we've got a copy laying around here. Anyway, I was thinking about a Bible for him, and I'll send her Every Man's Bible.
That's a good one.
And that might help him open up the scripture.
Because it's manly.
Bit. Yeah, it is. It is. Okay, hold on. We've got another program right after this. We want to talk with you. 1-800-229-3000. As I said, I'm preaching at Heartland. You can hear it at heartlandchurch.com or see it Mother's Day. Pray today for this country in this National Day of Prayer. Call us and let us see if a workshop could change your life. I can guarantee you there is not an experience that you could have in the area of healing and transformation and recovery more powerful than these weekends that Dave does with us and Mylon and Kay and Sherry Keffer and all. I mean, it's unbelievable the progress you can make in so short a time. And especially you women, you deserve to be free of what you're living with. So come to Women in the Battle. Please let us help you there. And then, of course, we need your support. And if you send us support, we'll send you two sets of 30-day devotionals from the We Dared campaign. If you haven't taken the dare, go to WeDared.com and sign up for 30 days of devotional to help you with 30 days of sexual integrity. Please support this ministry and call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need help. And go see 2 weeks free at TV.NewLife.com. Some absolutely amazing programs there. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.